right, let's go and look at Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to read a few verses here, and I'm going to do something a little different, amen. But we're going to look and we're going to give the historic context of what we're reading and then go back and really draw attention to a pattern that we see in this scripture that fits us where we're at today in reference to deliverance, salvation, help. God would intend to give, amen. But in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The biblical record of the birth of Jesus Christ is, I would imagine, very familiar to most, if not all, of us here today. It was a lowly birth, as Christ was born in a barn setting and laid in a manger as his first bed. And some today want to kind of make it out to be that he really wasn't in a barn type setting, but it's very fitting for our Savior to come in that way into this world. And I believe that would be the accurate understanding of that portion of scripture. God announced the birth to the nearby shepherds who were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks. And the birth happened at night, amen. All these details are amazing. Who the announcement goes to, the shepherds of that day, kind of people don't think about the shepherds. They're out in the fields just doing their job, doing it through the night, working the night shift, if you will, amen. And so the announcement came to the shepherds, the birth happening at night. No one was really thinking anything of it. The world was just going on. The world was oblivious to what was happening in Bethlehem that night. The fear that the shepherds actually experienced was calmed by the angel as the announcement came, and they said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is the best news that had been heard since the world had fallen into sin. Finally, the one who could help our sinful condition has arrived. Amen. Salvation was birthed into our world in Bethlehem that night. Amen. As with all scriptures, we have the historical context or account which details what actually happened. And then we'll have a contextual pattern in the details that is seen in other history events and in life in general. And so I want to focus on the pattern aspect of what took place there with the detailed birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that in reference to God sending salvation to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, as he gave us a pattern that we will see in reference to each person's reception of the good news and ultimately deliverance, not just for one soul, but in life in general. There's a tremendous pattern in this scripture that I think will be a blessing today. Let's first open in prayer. God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word today to this congregation of blessed folks. God, I pray that you would minister to us your word by thy Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, no matter the reason that each found themselves here today, that they would be open to the wonderful scriptures, being able to come and find lodging on a receptive heart. And God, we're already here. The time is already ticking. God, the work that really went into each of us being here has already been accomplished. God, I pray that it would not be in vain, but God, that our ears and our heart would be open to thy truth today. I pray, dear God, that you would lead us each to that next step in our spiritual walk with you, whether it's in need of salvation or encouragement or rebuke or reproof, God, or just help in general. God, I pray that you would supply the need of the hour for each person. God, it's amazing how you do this. It's amazing how, God, as I preach the word, you take that by your Holy Spirit and you actually preach a message directed towards each person, Lord, just a phenomenon that's not capable to be accomplished by man, but certainly is with you, dear God. And I pray, God, that you would help us today with your word as it's preached. God, bless this day. Thank you, God, for what's been done already, the good singing, the good spirit about this place, dear God. Truly, there's liberty in the house today. I thank you for that. And God, I pray that you would take and use this for your glory today and our help. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's just take this verse by verse here a bit. Actually, 10 points, amen. And you're mainly going to be just in this text of Scripture today. We're not really going to go out and about. I'll mention some Scripture, but not have you turn there. We're just going to be in Luke 2 today. Point number one, the taxing aspect of life moves us to where we need to be. The taxing aspect of life moves us to where we need to be. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And of course, that goes on a bit and talking about the governor of Syria. And it says, "And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city." Now, I've thought much about what was asked of them in this day. And we're talking about Israel, and we're talking about a time frame that didn't have a whole lot of travel conveniences like we have today. I praise the Lord for our vehicles, even though at times they need some maintenance, amen, and a little encouragement, amen. But I praise the Lord for the ability to hop in our vehicles and turn the heat on, amen, after they warm up and cruise on down the road with all the nice modern suspensions and smooth roads for the most part that we have, at least until the freeze and thaw cycle hits a little bit, amen. But it's a blessing, amen, to have these different means of travel, and even for people like myself that have family all over, and much like y'all as well, where we're able to hop on a plane, well, used to be able to pretty easily, amen. Nowadays, a little more difficult. But nonetheless, we have a lot of means of travel today for us to get around. It just wasn't the case. I mean, here's a great with child pregnant Mary who's riding on a donkey, amen, for quite a while, amen. That would have been quite the event, amen. I'm sure that was not all that comfortable. Hopefully, Joseph led her down the smooth path. But nonetheless, we find that this was quite the onerous activity that was rested and laid upon all the people in that day. They were all, by this point, talking about what tribe they were from, what their, remember, all the way back as we find, Moses led them up to just shy of the promised land. Joshua took over, led them in. And after the going through the land and getting all their inheritance, that became their area of Israel. And this taxing that was laid upon them was accounting. It was a census type of thing. But it wasn't, hey, receive it in the mail, fill it out, and send it back in, amen. It was everybody needs to show back up to their place of their birthplace, in a sense. Not their own birthplace, but the birthplace of their tribes. And so they would have to travel. Joseph, and when a woman was espoused, there was a contractual agreement for marriage. She was considered married, not with the physical aspect yet, amen, praise the Lord. The engagement period is important, but it's even though you might still call each other at times husband and wife, it's not fully accomplished until the vow is given and all of that. So we would leave the physical off, amen. You'd be wise to do that. And we find that in this context, they truly did that, but they were still, Joseph was caring for his espoused wife as he would it. Her identity now was housed within him. That's the way marriage works. That's why the female still to this day would, for the most part, amen, would lose that last name. And you become one new person, amen. That's what the Bible says. Twain become one, two become one. One new man, the Bible says. And so they went back to the place of Joseph's tribe birth, if you will. But consider, this happened all over Israel in that day. I bet the travel industry loved that, if there was one, amen. And this was, the people just moving all around him. By the time they got there, they were a little slow going, amen. There wasn't any room for them in, amen. But nonetheless, God made provision. But the point is that this taxing was burdensome to the people. And that's the whole point of this, the thought of this point is that the taxing aspects of life move us to where we need to be. God used the government in this day to get Joseph and Mary to the place that he wanted them to be for this determined time, amen? And it was quite a distance. But God had already prophesied in reference to the birth where it would be in Bethlehem, and it wasn't gonna work that they were gonna remain in Nazareth. God is a God of detail, amen? In this day that everybody wants to be able to do their own thing, their own way, not do it right, not do it by a protocol, but just like a Judges 2.0 type of day that we live, that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Just understand, if it's right in your eyes, it's probably not right in God's eyes, amen? We see this time frame where people were willing to be taxed just to do right, amen? And that they were willing, even though it wasn't convenient, even though it was a hardship for Joseph and his family, they still made the trip, amen? And God was in it. They needed to be at this place, amen? And by the way, I'm just thinking through, my mind is going crazy with different spiritual applications and analogies just to that thought itself. Now, the word tax actually means, in the Webster's, that it is that which is imposed, a burden. It was a burden. It was a huge burden placed upon them, and yet we find that they were willing to follow through with that burden. Understand that the majority of our moving about in the day that we live is to deal with the burdens that have been laid upon us. That's why we move around. Like many of you, if I don't have to go out, I don't go out. Amen? I'd be just fine finding my little comfy spot, amen, in my living room and sitting back and getting myself a cup of coffee or a nice hot cup of tea or something, and sit back and enjoying the family. And by the way, the last 3 days have been amazing, amen? We've had family over every day. It's been wonderful, amen? Kind of hanging out around the house and just enjoying each other and all that. That's a wonderful thing, amen? But you and I both know that that we're going to have to get up and move around a little bit, amen? Because we have a lot of burdens. We have a lot of burdens laid upon us. And it is in these burdens that we are moved, but amen? By the way, even in sense, we could look at life burdens, like a job and all these things that move us around and having to go to the store and all these different things that would move us. But even church, in a sense, coming to church is somewhat of a burden. God lays that upon us. And he says not to forsake the assemblings of ourselves together. And it says in so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I recognize as a pastor that there are things that I have accepted that are burdensome to me, that cause me pressure, that puts things on me that I must accomplish. I mean, I broke away yesterday and did some preparations for today and got the bulletin and stuff ready. My wife does a lot of that. I just come through, check some things, print it off, do all that. Others fold in the morning. The day before that, people stopped in, did some cleaning up. These are all burdens, burdens that are laid upon, even in reference to church, so that we can accomplish what God has given us to do. I just want you to know that we move around because of the burdens that are laid upon us in life. Amen. Now, we find that the burdens, you know, in reference to church and all that, I mentioned some burdens on from my standpoint, but for you, it may be just a little bit different. Some people come to church because they're depressed, amen, and they're looking for some help, and they're looking for some hope, and there's a burden laid upon them. They're looking for something. Praise God for people coming for that reason. Some come because they're struggling, maybe because the recent death of a loved one. And there's answers in the Word of God at what takes place around those times. Praise the Lord. That's a valid reason to come to a place that preaches the truth. Amen. Maybe people come to church because they looked up in the sky and realized that there's more to life than just what they see with their physical eyes. They realize that with everything around them, as orderly as it is and as consistent as it is, there's no way this all happened just by random happenstance. Amen. If there is a big bang, it's because God said bang and everything was created. Amen. I mean, there is no big, that's ridiculous. Amen. That is not how things are created today. Amen. If you go out and you blow up a bunch of metal, amen, you're not going to get yourself a nice Tesla. Amen. It's just not going to work that way. Order doesn't come from explosion and chaos. Chaos does not create order. Amen. So as we recognize these things and we understand these things and we look down into the molecular structure of a cell, amen, even what we thought was simple isn't simple at all. It's amazingly complex as you look at that thing closer and closer and closer and closer. And if you think that all just happened, amen, I mean, I got some stuff I want to sell you, amen, out in the swampland of Florida. I don't really own it yet, but I'm going to find some and get some, amen, because you're gullible, amen, if you're believing that garbage, amen. The point is that as we see these things, sometimes we are moved to say there's got to be more. There's got to be something to this thing more than just what meets the eye. Amen. That might have brought you to a place like this. And by the way, I'd love to sit down in the highest amount of education you have. I hope you have 45 letters after your name. I look forward to sitting down and talking with you. All I have is a B after my name called Bible. Amen. And I guarantee you this, this book will squash everything that man has to offer. His ways are higher than our ways and past finding out. The very word Bible comes from the Greek word logos, where we get our word logic from. Amen. This book is an amazing book and contains everything that pertains to life and godliness. If you'll come and let us just sit down and reason together through the scriptures, you'll leave there understanding there's way more to life than what the professor told you in some secular college somewhere. Amen. And God loves you. He has created you. He created you with purpose far beyond this life. Amen. The point is this, is that there are burdens. There are things that rest upon us that move us and cause us in life, truly, even, yes, to come to church. Maybe someone you know recently had a child and is struggling with childbirth. Not just childbirth, but child raising. I've heard people say, boy, I wish that God would have gave us an owner's manual to raising children. Good news. He has. It's right here. And if you don't raise your children by this book, well, then you get what you get. I was just recently at someone's house and doing some things, and the children were a little, I don't know how to put it. I thought to myself, I felt like going up to the parent and saying, man, good job, let me shake your hand. Your kids are exactly like you train them. And just say something like, I've never been able to train a hellion like that. I thought, but didn't get the opportunity. The reality is that that's exactly the way it is that if you ignore this book, you're going to get exactly what you get. But if you'll follow this book, then you'll also get what God says you'll get. Amen. You'll actually be a parent that is blessed. Blessed because children love God and know how to be respectful and know how to act and know how to live. Amen. They honor God. And you know, if the good news is that children, if you'll honor your father and mother, the Bible says you'll have a long life. It's a promise of the Word of God. Amen. So there's great truths found in the Word of God, and that's what we need to jump into and understand. But there's a burden. These are burdens that move us. The very burden that I got saved when I was 25, I didn't know any of this, but I just believed the Bible. And I felt like I needed to get to know it fast because I was behind the ball on some things. And I just determined then that I didn't know anything, but God knows everything. And that I was just going to, my wife and I, we just decided we're just going to prove God. I know how to use the internet and all that. I'm not illiterate there, but I choose not to use a lot of the things there that are on there, the social media and all that, just because I just want to be an experiment for God. I just want to be a family that I can point to and say, God's way works. Does that make sense? And so that, I hope that's where all of us are at today. But can I say, that's a burden too, isn't it? Isn't it a burden to search the scriptures and to study to show yourself approved unto God? Isn't that a burden? Anybody can go out and do nothing, and we see a lot of that. You say, well, what do you get if you do that? Open your eyes, look around, that's what you get, right? But there aren't that many right now that are willing to allow the burden of knowing the word of God to be rested upon them. But if you will, then that will create opportunities, and that will create an environment such that from that burden God will use and will make you a peculiar treasure unto himself and a spectacle to this world, that others will see that and ask you the question of where, how, what happened to you? And you say, well, give them your testimony. I met Jesus, and Jesus changed my life, amen? And give them that wonderful testimony. Burdens move us around. The reason we do what we do and go where we go is because of the burdens laid upon us. Number one, the taxing aspect of life moves us, get this, where we need to be. I would say since you're here today, this is where you need to be. Amen. And I don't think people just come to a church like this on accident. Amen. We've not sought to entertain you yet today. We've sought to honor and glorify God. And I'm glad that many have included in that with us. We're able to worship God together in a right way and just trying to keep things right. Amen. We're not trying to gain a crowd, you know, by you know, having jugglers or all that up here, amen, doing some illusion work and all that and rocking out up here. We're not trying to gain a crowd by pleasing your flesh, pleasing my flesh. We just want to honor God, amen? And so if you're here today and you've stayed this long, amen, then maybe you're the same way. You just want something that's real. You just want to know the truth and know that there's others out there that aren't trying to put a show on, that they really do love God and really just want to promote God and what he has to say, what he has to offer, come what may, whatever that means for us, amen? So the taxing aspect of life moves us to be where we need to be. Number two, found in verse number six, fate happens, amen? And so it was, verse six, that while we were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Just so happened, while they were there, they're having a baby. It just so happens, they didn't come there because they thought, hey, Joseph, let's go on vacation to Bethlehem and visit your family. That's not why it happened. It happened because the government in that day said, newsflash, you're gonna go back to your home area, basically, from your tribe, family. You're going to go. And they went. They probably weren't all that excited. I can't imagine Mary was excited about this trip. I can't imagine that Joseph was excited about this trip. I don't think it was something they were looking forward to. It was an extreme burden. And yet, while they're there, God said, perfect. This is the setting. This is the situation that I needed them to be at so I could accomplish what I need to accomplish because of what I've already said in my word, the fulfillment of prophecy in reference to Micah 5:2. And so praise the Lord for that. They're there. They wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for a burden laid upon them. They went. God is going to use it. While there, the conditions and situation was right to bring about God's purpose and in the move to get them there. While the conditions may not have been what Mary and Joseph wanted, they would have rather been in the end. We find they choose not to complain. At least we don't have that in Scripture about their circumstances. Instead, they you just see them kind of go along with it. Amen. And can I say in reference to life, I think it's about time that we as Christians stop complaining about the hardness of life and just realize it's just the way it is, amen? Life is hard. Amen. It just is. You might as well enjoy it, amen? You might as well. And same thing with Joseph and Mary. I don't know how their trip was, but I hope they didn't complain the whole way, amen? I hope they didn't, because they were a part of something that was bigger than them. And can I say in life, we are a part of something that's bigger than us. We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and we have the key, the word of God, to help people and to show them the way of life. Amen. We have the truth that we can say. Some people don't want to know the truth, and I understand that, and that we shouldn't force it upon them, but we should at least offer it to them. Amen. We should at least be available to help them to know the truth. Some people just want to be ignorant. The Bible says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Ignorant there just simply means to lack knowledge. Some people don't want to know the truth, and that's fine. Move on to the next. But praise the Lord that you and I are living in this day that we're living. Praise the Lord that you and I have got to live over the last 2 years to go through whatever this thing is, whatever's going on in the world in reference to God. Praise the Lord. It has been an exciting couple of years, has it not? I mean, we're seeing things happen across the world stage that people before us never saw. What an amazing day to be alive. Amen. You say, yeah, but one day we're going to die. Well, that's been true all the way through. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die. Of course, we're all going to die. Amen. But you better know Jesus before you do. Amen. But this is a wonderful day. God doesn't have you here on earth today because he needs some more complainers. God doesn't have you here on earth today because he needs some more rebels. God doesn't have you here on earth today because he needs some more sin accomplished. Amen. No, he has us on earth today because his will is still being done. He is reaching out to a lost and dying generation. And he has committed in this time frame that the only way that others will hear is through the Great Commission, the preaching of the gospel through local churches just like this one. You and I have an opportunity to be a part of God's plan. Now, a lot of young people today say church is boring, this, that, and the other. I'm going to go raise my family, go on as many vacations as I can go on and build my nicest house that I can have, as many toys as I can have, and do all these things and do this and do that. And that's their goal in life. That's an empty life. That life will always leave you with regret. That life will always, I'm not against houses. I'm pretty appreciative of the house that we live in, amen, the roof over our head. Pretty appreciative of the modern conveniences, amen, all those things. I appreciate a vacation here and there to go out and do some resting, amen. But the purpose of our lives better be that which God has called us to accomplish, and not just abiding in such a way that we're a little better than the Joneses next door, amen. It better be that. If you're ever going to feel any purpose being fulfilled in your lives. But fate does happen. Here's the point. No matter why you end up where you end up, God will work in your situation. Oh, I hate it that so-and-so had to go through that. Not me. I love it. Man, as a pastor, I just love sitting back, grabbing the popcorn, amen, and watching God work in people's lives. I love it. I love it when someone says, it's going to be different for me, Pastor. Okay. Can't wait to see it. I can't wait for you to live in such a way that you escape what God says is going to happen to you. I can't wait. I ain't seen it yet. I ain't seen it. If you'll follow God, you'll be blessed. If you know the truth and you'll turn from it, you're going to destroy yourself. You just can't get around it. Say, well, it hasn't happened yet. It will. Oh, it's happening. You just keep calling it something different. But one day it'll catch up with you, and you won't be able to call it that anything different anymore. Amen? I love it. It is so much fun to be alive and well today as a Christian. Amen? So much fun. Amen? Fate happens. Amen? We should really spend less time complaining about our circumstances and more time realizing that things are what they are, because that is what they need to be at that moment. You say, I wish that would have happened different. The only way that would have happened different if you would have been different. You see? And you can't go back and second guess everything, because we make decisions based on that moment. You can't go a month down the road and say, man, I should have made a different choice. Well, that's a month worth of info you have now. Of course, now on this side, you hate the fact that it worked out like it worked out. But we make decisions based on where we're at today. And know this, wherever that leads you, God is there. David said, though I make my bed in hell, lo, thou art there. You'll never escape. Jonah thought he could escape God, didn't he? Man, he sure thought, just throw me overboard. It'll all be better for y'all. Lo and behold, he wanted to die. That wasn't God's plan. God had prepared a great fish. I believe it's a whale because Jesus called it a whale, amen. And swallowed him up, amen. And he went all the way down to the bottoms. I mean, I've never seen the bottoms of the mountains in the ocean. And really,
neither did Jonah, but he got to experience it. Amen. All the way down and all the way back. He got to puke his guts out in the belly of a whale. I mean, I've never got to experience that. He got to have the seaweed wrapped around his head. I mean, if that's the life you're looking for, go ahead and follow the pattern of Jonah, where Jonah says, go this way. Or God says, go this way. And Jonah says, no, thank you. I'm going that way. Go ahead. And you can read in the Bible, and you know what's going to happen. If you're a child of God, and God's given you a call, God's given you something to do, and you try to go exactly the opposite direction, man, all you got to do is read the short book of Jonah, 4 chapters, read it. It's not hard. And then you'll be clued in to the wild ride you're fixing to engage in. Isn't that great? Fate happens. Meaning, wherever you're at, God will work with you right there to bring about his will. Amen? I think it's pretty awesome. Amen? Number one, the taxing aspect of life moves us to where we need to be. Number two, fate happens. Amazing. Joseph and Mary were right where they needed to be. How'd they get there? The government. That's crazy. Number three, God has provided us everything we need at each spot we find ourselves. God has provided us everything. Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Whoa. Where'd they get the swaddling clothes? Where'd they get the manger? Where'd they get all this stuff? Well, it was there. It was already there. See, we live in this day of discontent that we always think we need something more. Do you know the reality is that you have everything you need for this moment? You don't need something more to serve God. You young people that are single right now, you don't need a spouse to serve God. Serve God right now in the days of your youth. Amen? You don't need more money to serve God. You don't need more money to make it. Say, you don't understand my situation. Maybe you don't understand how you got yourself in that situation. Maybe you need to be heavily in debt for a while. Right? The Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that that there's a time to get and a time to lose. Sometimes we need to be in the midst of loss. And we fight against it like that's not normal. No, the Bible says it is. So all I'm saying is that instead of looking at your situation, my life would be different if my spouse was different. Well, that's true. But it's not the way it is. So you can spend all your time you want upset about it is what it is. Or you can say, you know what, it is what it is. God, what are you going to do in my life right now? That's where the focus should be. It shouldn't be on us. It should be on him. And I guarantee you that no matter where you find yourself, everything you need for that moment, God has supplied. Just like we see here with Joseph and Mary, just so happened to find themselves in a barn, by the way, which was a place that was used to delivering animals. Amen. And Emily was actually sharing with me even a thought about the manger and how that might have been the place that the Passover lamb was kept, and on and on and on. So much symbology. But who would have thought it? They weren't going there looking for a barn, but God was, because that's exactly where they needed to be, because that's exactly where everything they needed for what was fixing to happen would be. Pretty amazing. Number one, the taxing aspect of life moves us to where we need to be. Fate happens. God has provided us everything we need at each particular moment in our lives where we find ourselves. Number four, I like this one. The shepherds were close by. Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They weren't thinking about what was happening there in that barn, but they were close by. They weren't far off. They were very close. Amen. A shepherd is one who's given power by God to care for, lead, and guide sheep. Amen. They were guiding and caring for literal sheep, and then they would be used to come in and be given a message that they could go out and take those skills from caring for literal sheep to go out and help people know the truth so that then they would be also helped. Amen. So shepherds were close by. Number five, God shows shepherds what others need to know. Let me say that one again. God shows shepherds what others need to know. Consider this. This is amazing. Luke 2:9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Why didn't he go to the center of Bethlehem where there were more people? Why didn't God choose to make the announcement? I mean, in the marketplace, the busiest time where most people, why not? Whoa. God, you have this amazing announcement, and you're going to go tell it to a bunch of shepherds on the side of a hill who are disconnected from all the people anyway. I mean, their friends were sheep. They're animals. Amen? They were totally disconnected. And God chose, man, there's a message in there. Anyway, and God chose to give the news to a people who were typically disconnected from the other people, but they were shepherds. Something there. I'll let you think on that. Amen. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe. It's almost like the angels know they're going to go looking. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Others all around Bethlehem and the world would need to hear the news. And how does God start that process? Just through a couple of shepherds. Amen. How shall they hear without a preacher? These shepherds were preachers. In life, you must discern which shepherds are God sent and which ones are false shepherds sent by the enemy, because there's a whole lot of people out there offering advice today. Advice is offered in song. Advice is offered in the classroom. Advice is offered at home. Advice is offered from our family. Our advice is offered at the workplace. Advice is offered everywhere. And which advice you listen to is going to move you. And where you are moved to, God will meet you there and deal with you there based on your need. And if you follow the wrong advice, you will be in the wrong place, and God will meet you there and deal with you there. And then the process just keeps going over, and I just don't know why. Things just don't work out for so-and-so. I do. I had better hopes. I mean, I thought they were getting their life straightened up. I mean, I know they're, you know, just going through hard times. I know they don't manage money well, and yeah, and they do like to drink, and time struggles. I understand all that. Yeah, I just don't understand why things happen to them like it. I do. Amen. I understand. You don't? Really? Come on. You've been in this church long enough. You should know. Amen. If you choose to follow good advice from the wrong shepherds, you're going to end up in a place, by the way, that God will meet you at. But you're going to have a hard time. So that next time you'll see, maybe I should follow the advice of those shepherds that actually I can prove out what they say by the word of God. Here's the problem. False shepherds, you can't prove what they say. Everything I'm telling you today, you can prove right here. And I welcome you. If I preach something that's not found in this book, please come talk to me. And by the way, don't come with what you think. You come with your own scripture. Come with the word of God. And by the way, I see some of y'all. I've tried that. You've not come with the word of God. Come with the word of God. Let's pray about it. Let's allow the Holy Spirit of God to work. Come with the word of God. Because that's what I'm coming to you with. Now, you can do what you want. Don't worry. Fate will happen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good news? It's not about me. It's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about God. None of this is about me. And none of this is about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. And what we see in this text, beautiful analogy of how this works. God shows shepherds what others need to know. In life, you must discern which are God's shepherds in your life. And by the way, so do I. As your pastor, I have to discern whose advice should I listen to? Should I listen to your advice? Yeah, I do. Sometimes. Whose advice should I listen to? You know, should I go scouting the internet looking for something that sounds good? Is that how I should get my material? Whose advice, who should guide? All of us, where we're at, have to deal with these things, don't we? Because who you listen to is going to direct you. And what directs you and who directs you will land you somewhere. And where you're landed, God will meet you there. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're going to be rebuked and reproved by God if you're born again. Now, if you're not, the whole purpose of it is just to show that you're a sinner in the first place. But if you're born again, it's different, Hebrews 12 tells us, isn't it? But here's the good news. Wherever you go, God will work in your life. And I count that a blessing. Amen? No matter your situation in life right now, number one, the taxing aspect of your life will move you to be where you need to be for God to bring about his purpose in your life. Number two, fate happens, meaning that you can't stop God's working in your life. He will meet you there. Number three, God has provided you everything you need when you get there for his will to be accomplished, not yours. Number four, shepherds. God uses shepherds to help lead you, and they're always close by. Isn't that amazing? There's always people close by us that can help us. God always has people close to us with the right counsel. God always has his people close to us with the right counsel. But if we don't listen, it really doesn't matter how close they are. Because even the Bible says the word is nigh thee. Is it not? It's nigh thee. But if you don't listen to the word, it doesn't matter how close it is, it did you no good. And then number five, God shows shepherds what others need to know. It's amazing sometimes how, especially true for our own family, God will reveal truths to me for our family. He just doesn't reveal to my wife. He doesn't reveal to my children. And they'll come to me and I'll have to give what I believe God is leading. And sometimes it's a disappointment. But sometimes God only does speak through. Well, I know he always speaks through authority, but sometimes God doesn't speak to everybody, but he always speaks through shepherds. It's interesting. Amen. Just something to consider from our text. Number six, God moves us to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Luke 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Whenever God is involved, he always moves us to look up. Whenever man's involved, you're always moved to look down. Whenever it's man's ways, it always leads towards depression, discouragement, woe is me-ism, why does this always happen to me, kind of Eeyore mentality, right? Whenever it's man's ways, that's where it always leads. And by the way, you could put a false smile on, but you and God know what's in your heart. Amen? Man's ways will always lead you to look down, always be discouraged, always wishing things were different. But God and his counsel will always lead you to look up and to give God glory, no matter the outcome. Amen? We see that there in our text. Naturally, we tend to look at our circumstances and kind of get stuck in despair. Amen? Most people, especially as they get older, start to get a little upset because they're thinking their time on earth is growing shorter and shorter. But the reality is, if you're born again, to the believer who has eternal life abiding in us, we're not afraid to die. We're looking forward to the next phase that God has for us after this life. Amen. So we look up. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Naturally, we tend to look at our circumstances and get stuck. But God has called us to look up to see his glory and his working in our lives. Amen. Number seven. The shepherds followed the direction of the angels. They went. They were told to go look, and they did. And it came to pass, this is verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When you follow God's word you always find it to be true and helpful. God's word will never lead you into making excuses. God's word will never lead you to be less faithful to his things. God's word will never cause you to be bitter, unforgiving, angry. God's word will lead you to peace. God's word will always lead you to joy, unspeakable, as the song says, and full of glory. God's word will always lead you to a right place. Man's ways will always lead to the opposite. Number 8, the shepherds heard, went, saw, and now what's the result? They're proclaiming the Savior. Man always proclaims his own goodness. That's what the Bible says. It says that every man will proclaim his own goodness. I'm really good. Here's what man will do. I was wronged by that person. My life would be different today if it wasn't for that person. That's what man will do. But God's people, people that are listening to God, will always understand, you know what? It just is what it is. I'm going to glorify God. The faithful man who can find. So a man will always proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Everything that we come across in the Word of God that God means for us to take on will always lead to a right life for God. Here we find that God moved the shepherds from the field to the city, proclaiming the Savior for a time. Amen? Pretty interesting. Number 9, all those that heard the shepherds speak wondered at the news. Luke 2:18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I hope that what I preach to you causes you to think. You may not like everything that I say and preach. And that's fine. I don't know that I would like everything if you were up here preaching. Amen. But know this, that it ought to at least cause you to get into the book. Get into the book. That's all I want to do is encourage you to get into the book. Encourage you to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. That's it. Hopefully it causes you to wonder. I wonder why he said that. Instead of, I don't like what he said. That's what the world does. The world cuts everybody off. I don't like it. I'm cutting you off. God's people says, I wonder why that man, that woman who loved God, I wonder why they said that. And it should cause you to get in the book. It should cause you to wonder, not cut off. The world, cut it off. God's people, wonder why they think that. Wonder why. Some of you think a lot differently around this time of year about different things. Right? By the way, we all don't believe the exact same things. You know what that moves me as a pastor to do? I wonder, why do they think that way? Where'd they get that in the scriptures? Why? What's their past? What did they go through in their past? You know, for me, no one was saved in my family before that I know of. One profession of my aunt, that was it. No one else that I know of was saved in my family before I got saved. So that's my perspective coming in. I was heavily addicted to rock and roll and all kinds of other vices that I were wrong. That's my perspective coming in. Some of you don't have that perspective. You're going to see things a little bit differently. But know this, the Word of God is right. And it will work and lead us to that same spot. Sometimes along the way, we're going to get there just a little bit differently by God's word because he has to take us to some different places for what he needs to accomplish in our lives. Number 10, and lastly, the circle continues. This is the circle of how God works constantly in our lives. And you can't get away from it. The taxing aspect of our lives will move us to where we need to be. Fate will always happen. He'll meet us where he moves us. God has provided you everything you need at that place when you get there. There are shepherds close to you all the time that have the right guidance from God's word. God shows shepherds what others need to know. Number 6, God moves us to look up and to get our eyes off of our circumstances and on to him. Good shepherds follow God's word of direction themselves. They hasted to where they were told to go. The shepherds heard, went, saw, and then proclaimed the message to others. And those that hear the shepherds speak, they wondered at the news. And then that circle continues. The lost, they need to be saved. They need to hear that Jesus Christ was birthed into this world and then died on the cross. went in the grave, 3 days later rose again. Not because he needed to die for his own sin. No, he was not a sinner. But there was no other way for sin to be dealt with but by the perfect Lamb of God and coming and shedding his eternal blood, making an offering on the mercy seat of God in heaven, so that each of us by faith could receive the record against us and the news that Jesus is the Savior. And if we'll believe, if we're willing to turn from our sinful ways and turn from ourselves and embrace Christ, he said he'll save us. Twofold today, the lost need salvation from their sin unto the Savior. The saved need salvation from every circumstance in life. But know this, no matter where you're at in life, God will meet you there. And God will work with you there. And it's not based on somebody else. God will work with you individually, no matter what everybody else does in your life. God will work with you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And I thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the encouragement that it has been to me through the years. From the first day that I heard the gospel message, I'm so thankful. I'm a student of yours, and I love to hear the old story over and over again. God, I love to review the details of the gospel, the birth account of Christ and the work of Christ on the cross. I love to hear these things over and over, for everything has a spiritual application to how you work with me in my life and how I can be a help to others as you work with them in their respective lives. God, thank you for each one that's here today. Lord, I don't know how their week has gone. I pray, Father, that this has been an amazing week for everyone that's here. I pray that it's been an amazing year. I pray that everybody has just grown just strides in their Christian walk this year with you in the midst of the challenges, God, that we've all faced. But might it be today that some have found themselves in this place either lost, not knowing you, or as a Christian, but they've made some bad decisions, they've listened to the wrong shepherds, and they found themselves in a spot that you've met them at, and they don't like the end result. Some will then choose to double down and go further in their own way, and it'll get worse and worse for them. And others will choose to listen to you. God, I pray that would be the case for all of us, that we like the shepherds, would listen, and we would run to where you direct us to go. God, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for all that he has done and what he means for us. But God, help us today to have gained something from the message today, I pray in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.